Blog Talk Radio.
Your Father,
Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for tending to us, your sheep. I would like to welcome you all to Faith Ambassadors, the King's Decree on tonight. I am your host, Prophetess Latoya Douglas, and we welcome you tonight again. Thank you for joining us. We bless the Lord that you are here, and we thank you again for taking out your time to be on the broadcast tonight. The songwriter said, I am tending to my sheep. She said, no matter the mess that you've made, I'm tending to you. Father, we thank you for tending to us tonight. We ask that you would forgive us of any sin that we've committed by omission or commission, God. We thank you right now for your mercy that was given to us fresh this morning. We thank you for your grace, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you right now for your forgiveness. Lord God, we give you free reign to lead us tonight on this broadcast. Father God, I pray your anointing over every vessel in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for every panelist. I thank you for the words that you have sealed upon their lips on tonight. Father, I thank you for your spirit that will rest, rule, and abide in each one of us, God. We give you free reign, Holy Spirit. We thank you for being here. You said where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. And we thank you for being here. And now we ask, God, that you would show us your glory. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Now show us your glory in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now that you are leading us, that you are leading us. The Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and we thank you for your word, Lord. Now, Father, we ask that every listener would be attentive. Every distraction we bind in the name of Jesus, and we loose the spirit of attentiveness. We loose the spirit, oh God, of focus and clarity in the name of Jesus, and we thank you on tonight. Father, I thank you right now. We bind up the foul of the air and the prince of the air, Lord, and we loose, Father God, the angels in the name of Jesus to man the lines, the broadcast tonight, that your word would be heard, oh God. We thank you that your word is already blessed and that it will accomplish that which it is sent to and prosper the very thing that it is sent to. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you, oh God, with the fruit of our lips. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, thank you for joining us tonight on Faith Ambassadors Roundtable Discussion, the King's Decree. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. If you could right now for me, I would love for every listener to share this broadcast. These men have been coming forth with some very, they've been coming forth with the word of God, and it has been very nourishing to us. Let me say it that way. And it has been good. And we thank God for that on tonight. Tonight, this is our roundtable discussion panel, the King's Decree. I'm going to give you guys a couple of announcements, and we're going to get right into the broadcast. On Mondays, you can join us for the Staying on Purpose broadcast. On Tuesdays, you can join us for the Women's Ministry broadcast, which is called Women of Wisdom and Power. Also, on Wednesday, we have our Overflow Ministry, and on Thursday nights, we have School of the Prophets. And we thank you for joining us on tonight. I would like to give honor to the apostle of this ministry, Apostle Daniel Carter, and the senior pastor, Pastor Felicia Dotson. We thank you again for joining us on tonight. We have an email address if you want information on how to partner with Faith Ambassadors, or if you want to sow a seed. We have an email address, and that is faithambassadors247@gmail.com. You can email us and ask for information concerning anything that you need, prayer, counseling, mentorship, or even just to talk, to have a listening ear, and someone will get back to you. You can follow us on Facebook, like one page and follow the other. We thank you again for joining us. We also have a Facebook page called The Youth Resurgence in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your obedience as the Lord leads you to whatever he's calling you to do concerning the Faith Ambassadors. Again, I am your host for tonight, Prophetess Latoya. We welcome you. We love you here at Faith Ambassadors. And this is the King's Decree. Tonight, we are going to be talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And when we're led by the Spirit of God, the Word of God says, hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Word of God says, I'm sorry, and I had my scriptures pulled up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans, hallelujah, and I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. It says in Romans 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In Galatians 5, verse 18, it also says, but if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. There are over 300 scriptures that talk about being led, and there are over 700 scriptures that talk about being led by the Spirit of God in the Word of God. So tonight, we're going to talk about being led by the Spirit of God. And I just want to thank you all again for joining us on tonight, and thank the panelists for being on and being faithful to what God has called them to do. So tonight, the very first question that we're going to approach is, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And is that the same as walking after the Spirit? The question again is, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And is that the same as walking after the Spirit? The very first person that I want to answer that question on tonight would be Elder Breon. If you could answer that question for us.
Amen. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? But I think that we first have to understand, you know, the basics to get into that point of being led by the Spirit. And so what God was sharing with me was that you have to be dead in Him to be led by Him. So there has to be a death in order for us to totally submit, because it takes submission to be led of the Spirit, because sometimes our spirit wants to go one direction, but God's Spirit needs us to go another direction. So therefore, there has to be a dying. There has to be a dying to the flesh. So again, we have to be dead in God to be led by God. So I think that we miss it sometimes because, you know, I guess earlier, you know, in old, it talked about they baptized with water, but he said that something would come later, the gift that he would lead would be the Holy Spirit. And I think that sometimes we don't understand that the Spirit leads us into the right places, but we have to understand that the Spirit can only lead us if there's a submission. So I think to be totally led by the Spirit of God, you have to, one, die; two, you have to submit; but three, you have to be open to what the Spirit is saying, because sometimes we don't we're not open to what the Spirit is saying because it doesn't make sense to us. So it doesn't fit what we think it should fit. The other part is that the same as, I'm sorry, I was trying to talk and remember, the same as following the Spirit? Is that how you said it?
Yes. Is it the same
yes.
as, let me ask that second part of the question. Is that the same as walking after the Spirit? To walk in the Spirit, is it the same to walk after the Spirit?
Well, I would say the two would line up because you can't walk after what you don't follow or walk in. I mean, there has to be something that gives you the desire to walk after the Spirit, but I think you have to walk in the Spirit to walk after the Spirit. To be led of God's Spirit, you have to be in God's Spirit. There can't be any interjection of any other thing, only God's Spirit. So walking after the Spirit, they say that, you know, the Spirit will not lead you where God can't find you. So I think that you have to be in the Spirit so that you can walk after the Spirit. I'm going to stop right there and yield to one of the other brothers. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Prophet Sir Ryan, can you answer that question for me?
Amen. Am I live? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry, having a little trouble with my device here. Praise the Lord. So the question is, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And is that the same as following after the Spirit, correct?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. So Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, capital S on Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit brings us alive. If we're alive in him, he's made us alive. We're born again. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, capital S, on Spirit once again. Something the Holy Spirit has shown me throughout the Word, whenever you see a capital S on Spirit, then it means a particular Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He's holy because he's set apart. He's like no other, but he's not the only Spirit that exists. So there are spiritual things that do not consist of God himself being involved. This is where we have the operation of things that are spiritual but are evil, which is basically witchcraft. So one can enter the spirit realm, lowercase s on Spirit, doing spiritual things, being spiritual, but not know the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, which is dangerous. So I'm going to read a scripture in the Old Testament as soon as I find it. Give me a second. It's in Micah chapter 2. I'm going to read that. But to walk in the Spirit that we should focus on is being in Christ, not being spiritual people, but being spirit-minded by the Spirit that gives us life, which is the Holy Spirit. In Micah chapter 2, verse 11, it says something very unique. It says, if a man walking in the Spirit, lowercase s, and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee wine and strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Those were people that did not respect the true prophets of God in that day. So God began to speak and said, if a man walking in the Spirit and falsehood, so it's possible to walk in the realm of Spirit but not be following the right Spirit.
Jesus.
Therefore, he said they're walking in the Spirit and falsehood. But Jesus said in order to worship the Father, we must worship in Spirit, capital S, for the Spirit that we are connecting with, and in truth. So to follow the Spirit means we are following the right Spirit. And I'll digress at that point.
Amen. That was good. That was good. Elder Bennett, next, you are the next in line to answer that question. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And is that the same as walking after the Spirit?
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Okay. This is kind of deep here, but clearly we are told that God is in charge. He is in control. Nothing happens apart from his knowledge, his understanding, and his power. Let me take you to John chapter 14, verse 8. And this is going to surprise you, because you can be right in the Spirit, but not even after the Spirit. Meaning, when I read the scripture about Philip, it's verse 8. Philip said to him, speaking to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and is it sufficient for us? Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? We can be right with the very source of the anointing and not even draw from it.
Let me
continue to read. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. There's the key. In the Spirit and after the Spirit. If you're in Jesus, if you believe these things, you can do the same things as Jesus did. But here, Philip is walking right along with the Anointed One and don't even know. Let me continue to read. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to the Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In order to be led by the Spirit, you've got to be definitely in Christ Jesus. You have to identify with everything that Jesus suffered on Calvary. Following after the Spirit, you lose the true source of the power of God when one disrespects Calvary alone. So in the Spirit and after the Spirit is of the same mindset. Because if you take the woman who had the issue of blood, she just said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. And then when Jesus turned around and said, well, who touched me? The disciples said, well, Jesus, all these people are thronged all touching you. But Jesus said, well, somebody touched me for real. Because he felt the virtue. He felt power coming from him. So in 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but ye know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. In order to be after the Spirit, you got to dwell in the likeness of Christ, which wisdom comes, because a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So that goes hand in hand with being in the Spirit, and then if you do this, you can easily fall after the Spirit when you recognize. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Each one of you have brought a very different revelation as the Spirit of God gave it to you, but yet it all tied in. The next question, we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God and how that looks. And what is it? What does it truly mean to be led by the Spirit of God? The next question that I want to ask is, why do we need emphasis on need? Why do we need to be Spirit-led? Why do we need to be Spirit-led? And the first person that I want to ask that question is going to be Elder Bennett. I'm going to run you back. So the question is, why do we need to be Spirit-led?
Amen. I'm trying to find a scripture in Zechariah 13. Hold on a second, please.
Hallelujah.
Actually, just let me go off the cuff here within my spirit. Why do we have to be led by the Spirit? Because if we're not led by the Spirit, because even the song that you play in the introduction talks about shepherd and sheep.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important for the shepherd to have the anointing, because if the shepherd doesn't, the Bible talks about how it's a danger to scatter the sheep. And there's a serious judgment that's going to be on the shepherds when they do not lead God's people correctly. There's a serious judgment when it comes to that. Awake. I'm in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against my fellow man, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. And I shall turn my hand against the little one. Once that happens, God will see how damaging that issue with the shepherd was, and he will bless the least or the ones that really needed him. God will show forth and bless them despite what the shepherd does. And even there's a scripture that says, if you have 100 and the one goes astray, you are to stop what you're doing and go get that one. And that is so important.
Amen.
that even that is so sensitive. That goes to show you, when you are led by God, you will do the unusual. You will not let even that one. And God spoke something to me the other day about sheep. If a shepherd sees that there is an issue, he must be led by the Spirit to make sure those sheep are being fed, despite what he feels. Because if you don't have the heart of the people, say, for instance, you're in the pulpit and you're preaching, there is so much power in the pew that are being overlooked because it can be easily that God can be talking to that individual, but if they don't want to be led by the Spirit, they're fighting within themselves because they see the anointing in the pew. They see people that can come up to where they can pass the baton. But some people are so selfish, when they should be led by the Spirit to pass the baton, to grow the church, to grow the administration, to grow the auxiliary. But they want to hold on to that anointing and all that leadership within themselves, and then they become the puppet master syndrome. So being led by the Spirit is being able to distribute
the authority to the worthy ones that you know and that God shows you their heart to move forward in ministry. So that goes
Amen.
A lot. That has a lot of responsibility. But some people get that unction and that vision of said persons, and they don't want it. They don't want to release the favor of God to someone else's lives. So that's very important that we do what God is calling us to do. Being led by the Spirit is a commandment almost. Actually, it is. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Next person that I would like to answer that question would be Elder Breon. If you can you answer the question, why do we need, emphasis on need, to be Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, led? Why do we need to be led by the Spirit of God?
Okay, I'm gonna stay where you started out in Romans 8, and I'm gonna it's the Good News version. You allow me to read just this briefly, and it says, "Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. But you do not live as human nature tells you to. Instead, you live as the Spirit tells you. If, in fact, God's Spirit lives in you, whoever does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him." So it's a couple things that we see there. One being, it's a command that we follow after God's Spirit, that we have God's Spirit. It's a command. A similar word for command is a decree. It's a decree that we walk after the Spirit of God, as you all are saying, the capital S, the Spirit of God. And then the other is, it talks about the relationship. How can you have a relationship with God if you do not walk after the Spirit? So I think the strength comes in your relationship with God, because now you can walk after the Spirit confidently, because you know that you're talking to God and God is leading you by his Spirit. As it was said earlier by both of the brothers, we have to be comfortable being led by the Spirit. So I think that our human nature goes against the Spirit of God. So I think the important thing is knowing that you cannot really walk. When you walk after the Spirit of God, a lot of things are attached to that. Prosperity is attached to that. Peace is attached to that. Obedience is attached to that, because you're walking after the Spirit. Because obedience, again, in obedience, you know, that goes that word again, D-I-E. It's a constant that you got to die. Inside obedience is the word die.
We constantly
have to die to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Because, again, our spirit wants to go left.
That's good.
But the Spirit of God said it goes right. And I think the importance of walking after the Spirit, it prevents you from being in places of devastation, because you are following the Spirit. Sometimes, even when you're tired, God pushes you through the Spirit to do the things that are pleasing to him, if that makes sense. We have to get past doing the things that are pleasing to us and catch on doing the things that's pleasing to God. And I think that's what helps us walk after the Spirit, because we know if we walk after the Spirit, as it said earlier, then we are going to be pleasing to God. Amen?
Ooh, amen. Hallelujah. Inside the word obedience. You know, Elder Breon, you have a way. Hallelujah. Jesus, I've never, ever heard that broken down that way. Inside the word obedience is the word die. I am, oh my goodness, yeah, that's some good meat right there. Thank you for that, because That not only lets us know that dying means that we've submitted ourselves to the leading of the Spirit of God, but it also means that we are no longer walking after our own selves and in our flesh or after another spirit. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. You and Elder Bennett are like, Jesus. Now, Prophet Sir Ryan, bring up the rear. Why do we need, with the emphasis on need, to be led by the Spirit of God?
Hallelujah. We need to be led by the Spirit of God because, first of all, there's nobody else that's going to lead you to life. I know we have to die to the flesh, but the object of dying is that we may obtain life. Jesus says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. So the object to identifying with Christ is not a dying life, but a resurrected life. As the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him in the fellowship of his suffering and in the power of his resurrection. So we got to partake of both. Jesus once spoke of he says a seed abides alone except it dies. But the object of that seed dying is to bring forth fruit. We need the Holy Spirit because of this. Mankind, he doesn't know how to lead his own way. It is not in man to direct his own steps. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. It says in the Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is the ways of destruction. So what happens is without his leading, we die over and over and over again because of the ways of destruction, but God is always saying, I come that they may have life and that more abundantly. He's talking about eternal life, and it starts now inside the believer, but the flesh has to die. The deeper reason we need the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read this. In John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit is the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus,
come on.
The Bible says he hung his head, he said, it is finished, and he died. He gave up the ghost. He did not say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Watch this. So the ministry of Jesus in the flesh body ended at that time, but he yet says, I take my life back up. So the Spirit is the continuation. John 16 and 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That means there's more that he's got to say. And the only way we're going to receive it is through the ministry of the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit.
He says,
oh, Jesus.
How be it, verse 13, how be it, when he, the Spirit, capital S, of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show thee things to come. So the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. He keeps you walking after truth. Just like what I said earlier, there are people walking in the Spirit realm and falsehood. But this Spirit leads you into all truth. So anytime we step out of alignment of where he's stepping into our own footsteps, the footsteps of others or whatever, then that's what causes us to get into the lie. And the lie always pulls you back from God. But the Holy Spirit pushes you forward to God. Hallelujah. Romans 8, and I will leave after reading this. Romans 8, verse number 1 says, there is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, in him, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The condemnation comes from walking after the flesh, but we are to shadow the Spirit. We walk after him. That means he takes the first step, you take the next one. He takes the next step, you follow after, like footprints. To God be the glory.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys are on it tonight with this revelation. I thank God that this topic was brought up, and the understanding of being led by the Spirit of God and walking after the Spirit of God and even after other spirits, because there is a spiritual realm that is out there that a lot of people don't know about, and it is a demonic spiritual realm. And there's also the realm that the Spirit of God lives in. There are two different ones, the one that leads us by the flesh and the one that leads us by the Spirit of God, our very true nature that is birthed of God in His image and from Him. This is good. Yeah. This is good. This is, oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. The next question is, and it's sort of similar to the first one that I just asked, the one that I just asked, but listen to the question, and I want the very first person to answer to be Elder Hare, Elder Breon. How do we know we're truly following the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God? How do we know we're truly following the Holy Spirit of God?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Mm. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Yes.
Ooh, that's how do we know?
Yes.
The simple answer would be, being that when God tells us something through His Spirit, the burden of proof is on God. If God leads me to a place, and what God led me to the place to see, do, or hear manifests, I think that encourages you in the fact that you know that God led you to that place. Again, I'll go back to the relationship, trusting the voice of God. So we have to develop the ear to know that God's Spirit, or God is speaking through His Spirit to us. So I guess a follow-up question to that would be, how do you know what spirit you are hearing? Because as the brother said earlier, sometimes there can be another spirit, lowercase, that could be speaking, that could overshadow, if you're not careful, the big spirit, capital S, is speaking. He can think, because you know that the enemy is an imitator. He imitates the things of God to get us off course. So I think that sometimes you have to use wisdom and understand that you know the character of God, but you know the deeds of God, but you also know the ways of God. I think that's what helps us know that we're hearing the Spirit, because He said in Proverbs to acknowledge Him in all our ways. So even though He speaks it, we still have to do some acknowledging, because sometimes we need that extra push to know that we're on the right path, because the sign isn't going to always be that you're on the right path. Does that make sense to you? So I think understanding that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's God's Spirit speaking to you, then that's the Spirit that you follow. And I'll leave it at that. Amen?
Lord, have mercy. God, You are speaking tonight, Father. Yes, You are. Yes, You are. The next person that I want to answer that question will be Elder Bennett. Elder Bennett, how do we know we're truly following the Spirit of God?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
First and foremost, I would like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4. Demonic issues are flesh and flesh alone. Spirit is of the Spirit. And let me read verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of the ministries, but the same Lord. and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. How do we know we are following the Holy Spirit of God? I mentioned earlier about sheep, when they deprive, well, shepherds, when they deprive the sheep. Here's my point. But it is the same God who works all in all. We are all the same. We are all going to get the same reward in heaven. But when you withdraw back the blessing from other people, and I can just stay right on that point, but I'm going to go into verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There it goes again, the word all in all. How do you know that we are following the Holy Spirit? Because you're blessing all people. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. That's how you know that you are following the Holy Spirit. When you have compassion, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. When you are really being led, or when you know that you're following the Holy Spirit of God, these things happen. Demonic issues won't even come into the realm where the Spirit of God truly rests, rules, and resides. Because demonic is of the flesh. Demonic is movement of only in the flesh. Everything that God has, Satan tries to have a counterfeit. So it's very important that we do know when we are following the Spirit of God, because demonic forces are roaming in the earth. The Bible says Satan is the prince of the air. So we got to be very careful. We got to know when people are really saying what they're saying, and it's really of the Spirit that is distributing these things individually as God gives it, not Satan. You got, it's very important on how to know when you're hearing versus hearing demonic forces in the realm.
That's good. That's good.
But Satan has none of these activities flowing out of 1 Corinthians. That's how you know. Because Satan can't do none of these things that these scriptures describe. And that's how you've got to separate the two.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Prophet Sir Ryan, can you bring up the rear with the answer to the question, how do we know we're truly following the Spirit of God?
Bless the Lord. Amen. I want to say this first and foremost. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by your love one toward another. So that's the mark of authenticity right there, is love.
Jesus.
First of all, because if we're following Jesus, he's no longer walking in the flesh. He had to take off the flesh so that we would learn the things of the Spirit, because now we're following him via Holy Ghost. But he still says that he's not going to speak of his own self. He still says he's going to glorify me. So the Spirit always points back to Jesus Christ. To glorify means to show forth the glory or the image of God. When we see that word glory, we often think of, we feel God in the service falling upon us, but it's not what he's talking about. The word glory means the appearance or the visual appearance of something. So we see him through the eyes of our heart because the Spirit is glorifying him. It's the Spirit that is glorifying Jesus Christ on earth. We can't know who Jesus really is without the Holy Ghost. Now, to go into the scripture that I was led to for this question, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 13, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Holy Ghost teaches by comparing one spiritual thing to another. And it's just like you take fool's gold and real gold and put them together and figure out the characteristics to know, okay, this is the authentic, this is not authentic. You take life and death and put them side by side. You take truth and lies and put them side by side. You are comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, but here's the kicker. We don't get caught up and wrapped up in looking at darkness or the demonic, but we do need to recognize the difference so that we can know we're not in that way that seems right, but the end leads to the ways of both. So here's the kicker right here. John chapter 17. This is the 17th year. Verse number 17. Jesus said this to his father in his prayer. He said this to his father in his prayer for the saints. Matter of fact, I'm going to go up one verse and start there. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. This is spirit. Verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. To know we're following the spirit, we have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. If you hear a voice, if you get a gift is operating, does it align with the word that is already written? Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify means set apart, make holy. The spirit is holy. He's set apart. He's different. He's not like any other spirit. Now he's saying, don't take them out the world, but sanctify them in this world. Make them set apart, but do it through your truth. Your word is truth. So we go back to the word. We compare our lives to the word. We lay everything down at the word. We pray the word. We ask God, reveal the word. Make sure I'm not interpreting it my way. But as the man said earlier, he said, acknowledge him in all your ways. And this is what keeps us from stepping off the path and to stay on the path, because he said the way is narrow and few there be that find it. So on that way, we're seeking him. And it's a continual thing. Everything we do, we should pray always, all day. We should be talking to God because he's right there with us. So that's how we really figure if we're following the spirit of God or spirit of self or spirit of other. We have to compare it to the word. We have to pray, and we have to really be serious about our walk, because there's a devil that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And the way he's coming at us is with falsehood, as the other brother said, he has an imitation for everything God has. So he's going to come at you with falsehood. And the way to combat him is through truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. To God be the praise. I digress.
Jesus. Amen. Ha. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Father, for the revelation. Our last question, and I want you guys to take your time. We're not in a rush tonight. We're never in a rush. We allow the Spirit of God to lead us as he would. On tonight, the last question that we're going to ask is, what's the difference between holiness and righteousness? If there is any, what's the difference between holiness and righteousness? The first person I want to ask that question will be Elder Breon. What is the difference between holiness and righteousness? Let's clear some things up for our listeners.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we can take our time with this one, right? Holiness and righteousness. What is the difference? And I go back to the word command. What is a command that God gives us? And that is to be ye holy. What does that entail, being ye holy? Does that mean you have to have a certain outfit, a certain look? Or is that meaning
your relationship with God becomes that of holiness. You know what I mean? Where there is a separation, there are times of separation that you steal away. And for me, relationship with God, I think, drives everything. And I think in being holy, you have to have that relationship with God to understand. Because, you know, you used to think you grow up and, you know, before you go out to speak, you know, the holy thing to do was to put all this oil on your head and not eat, you know, before you went to speak. But the thing about it is God was going to be there with you anyway. And I don't want to take away from fasting, I'm just saying. So I think holy is living a, I think they both are, have to do with lifestyle. But I think holy is more of a sanctification type of thing, of where you sanctify yourself or keep yourself sanctified before the great God. I think righteousness is an extension of holiness, meaning that you live right. You live right before others. You know, I think the righteous living is what helps draw others, because as I said, sometimes in holiness we have a lot of requirements that people don't, you know, really feel. But in righteousness, if they see the righteous of a person, that kind of tends to draw them a little more. So I think that the two can kind of coincide, but I think that holy is more of a sanctification, more of a deeper relationship. Righteousness is a way of exhibiting what a Christian should be or a Christian should do, meaning you follow all the commands, the laws, the things that God is decreeing or saying that you should do. So that would be my understanding of it in a short version of an answer. Holy being sanctification, righteousness being a way of living or exemplifying how we should live as Christians. Amen.
Amen. That was good. Elder Bennett. Question. Last question. What's the difference between holiness and righteousness, if there is any?
In short, when I was at work today, I did a little witnessing concerning a few people, and I asked the question. I said, someone asked me that there's no rest for the weary. And I was like, well, the Bible says don't be weary in well-doing. So I was able to shed light on that, and actually – some of the stuff I'm getting ready to say, I shared to these individuals. Now, holiness, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and thou perfect. To depart from evil is understanding. That's in Job chapter 28, verse 28. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, which is in Psalms 37, 27. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Proverbs 22, verse 1. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, 6. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Covet earnestly the best gift. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, that's righteous. That's holiness. Righteousness. Righteousness. Show to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Accept your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That's key. Ye shall know cease, enter into the kingdom of heaven. Let me read that again. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the key. So, as I read in Corinthians, I believe that these two come from the same spirit, is the same spirit, distributed by the same spirit of our Lord. But they have different responsibilities. They have different activations. They have different governing rules within the earthly body to manifest these attributes in the earth, to show forth that we are Christ-like, that we are Christ-minded as well. But that one scripture that I shouted out, accept your righteousness, not holiness, accept your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, versus holiness, it doesn't say that type of a heightened condition, recommendation. So there's a percentage of a measurement in righteous living that is more than being holy. According to that scripture, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness outweighs holiness. Amen.
Woo, Jesus. Amen. Last but not least, Prophet Sir Ryan, can you answer that question, please?
Absolutely. As he said, it's from the same spirit, the spirit of the Lord. So I'm going to say it the way he gives it to me. Righteousness is the work of God. Holiness is the proof that we believe, and it's our responsibility. For the word of God says, be ye holy. Be holy, not do holy, not act holy, not say holy, be holy, even as the Lord thy God is holy. Jeremiah 23:6 says, the Lord our righteousness. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, the righteous, he is our righteousness. So what the Lord has shown me is that righteousness means more than one thing, first of all. To be righteousness means a right standing with God, which Jesus afforded for us through his death, burial, resurrection, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, in the grave, in the tomb, resurrecting. That's our righteousness, by believing. That's our righteousness, through faith. But faith without works, my brothers and sisters, is dead. So that means you can believe upon Jesus while he's in that grave, but to believe upon Jesus as he has resurrected means he's resurrected in you, living a holy life by what? Virtue of being holy. So I'll put it this way. Righteousness is a gift. God has given us righteousness. Had he not did it, none of us would see heaven, because there's not enough holiness, goodness, righteousness, anything in any of us to afford us a ticket into the kingdom of heaven. It all hinged upon what Jesus Christ did for us. That's righteousness. But then if we believe upon him, if we are true believers, there has to be proof of solidification of that faith. Abraham believed God, and his belief was counted for righteousness. But he yet had to walk out and do some things. You can see that, I believe, in Genesis 25:6, where God speaks of Abraham doing all the right things. But he did it because his heart was in the position of being the right person. Be ye holy. Now I'm going to read something, because a lot of people, when they hear the word holiness, they automatically think of a bunch of rules and regulations. They automatically get turned off by the word holy, because you've seen holiness in these churches that say, well, you got to wear this amount of makeup. You got to tie your hair back. Your skirt got to be yay long. Your hair got to be cut a certain way. And it's all about rules, regulations, and the outward appearance. But the Holy Spirit will deal with you about everything, including your appearance. And sometimes he's going to deal with you directly, and sometimes it'll be indirectly through the mouth of a preacher. But then some things the people are preaching as holiness, and it's not coming from God. It's coming from what they want to see. So to sum it all up, righteousness, which makes it possible to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, Jesus gives us that. Because on our own, we would be just like them, self-righteous.
Jesus.
But with Christ, we are justified. So there's a process of righteousness, justification, sanctification unto holiness. Now let me read the scripture on holiness, and I will shut up. Romans chapter 6, Paul begins to talk about it. And in verse 19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. He knows the flesh is weak. So the flesh is a thing we got to bring under subjection, all of us. See, the thing about the Pharisees, they weren't righteous anyway. They were finger pointers and stone throwers that wanted to appear righteous, but they weren't holy in heart. And Jesus told them in their face, he said, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. But there were people that walked with Jesus, they had issues. Jesus did not excuse their issues. He justified them and brought them to a place of holiness. Now, Paul writes, and he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Infirmity means weakness. For as ye have yielded, that's past tense, your members, servants of uncleanness, that's what we used to do with our body, unclean stuff. He says, and to iniquity, unto iniquity. That means the more we do sin, the more sin it produces in our body. Iniquity unto iniquity. Next, he says, even so now, this is now. No looking back to what you used to do. If we are believers, this is for the believers. The Apostle Paul was given for the believers, so he wrote this. He said, even so now, yield your members, your body, servants to righteousness. Do what's right. You believe Jesus is righteous? You believe he died for you? Then now do what he said do. Do what the Spirit is telling you to do. Then he says, servants to righteousness. A servant. You serve righteousness. Unto holiness. So when you do what's right, it produces holiness. It sets you apart. People are not going to want to deal with you. People that are still of the world, even carnal Christians, they're going to push you away. But God's going to draw you nearer. It's a matter of choice.
Come on.
Who do I want, God or the world? The more you reach for God, the more holiness he gives you. Holy means set apart. So at the end of the day, God is showing us that as we apprehend righteousness, as we put on the righteousness, we believe, then he's given us the fruit of holiness. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Jesus. I am giving him praise because these revelations have been amazing. They have been spirit-led revelations, and I am so excited. As you guys have been even giving the scriptural basis as to what you are sharing, the Holy Spirit has been showing me things and revealing things unto me concerning being led by the Spirit of God. And I know that our listeners are getting revelations popping off inside of them as well. And I thank you. I thank you all for joining us on tonight. Evangelist Fowler wasn't with us tonight. I know there would have been some more Holy Ghost fire on this line tonight had he been here. But in his stead, we thank him. His presence is still here. And we thank him even in his absence for being a part of the panel. I am excited about the decrees that you guys are going to release tonight concerning walking in the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God to our listeners and to even those that listen to the replay. As we do on every panel that you guys have, I want each of you to do a decree, letting the people of God know, giving them encouragement or whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your lips as a declaration, and God will establish it in the lives of his people. The very first person I want to go forth is Elder Bennett. Release your decree, King.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I decree, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven on the day of Pentecost. Had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I declare and I decree this to start happening within the church. I declare and decree be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I declare and decree that these things will happen again. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I declare and decree that these things start manifesting themselves back into the earth. I declare and decree that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I declare and decree that all who believed were together and had all things in common. I declare and decree that they had all things in common. I declare and decree that they have all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all and divided them among all and divided them among all. I declare and decree that no one, that everyone got blessed as needed. So I declare and decree that continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, on one accord in the temple, on one accord in the temple, I declare and decree and the breaking of bread from house to house, that they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. I declare and decree that the Lord added to the church. I declare and decree that the Lord add to the church. I declare and decree that the Lord add to the church daily as those who were being saved.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Lord, we thank you for your word and the power of your word, which is already producing that which it was sent to do and establishing the very thing that it was sent to. We thank you, Elder Bennett, for that declaration. Elder Breon, release your decree, King.
Amen. Hallelujah. Before I do that, if you would just give me just a few seconds just to share this last thing, and that is Romans 8:14, and it's part of the decree. Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. And when you look at the word Spirit, we have to begin to believe that God's Spirit will lead us to set places in right initiated times. Again, the Spirit will lead you to set places in the right initiated time. So, Father God, I decree that each and every person that's listening by phone or on the broadcast, God, I decree, God, that they will follow after your Spirit like never before, God. God, I decree and declare that they will follow you wherever you shall lead them, God, and that you will lead them, God, to the designated places that they should go, God. So, God, I pray, God, that you would lead them, God, by your Spirit to places of peace, to the places of prosperity, to the places of promotion, God, that they would have lives that would be pleasing unto you. I decree, God, that the Spirit of God shall manifest mightily in their lives, God, like never before, God. God, I just pray, God, that you're stirring up gifts now by the Spirit, God, and I thank you for doing it right now in the name of Jesus, God. I decree, God, that they will not be the same once they connect, once they engage the Spirit of God. God, that they will go forth and do mighty things, greater works, God, because of your Spirit leading them, God. God, I pray and decree, God, that you shall lead them into hospital rooms, God, that people that are sick, God, will be healed, that they will leave hospitals, God.
Yes, God.
I decree,
that's
God,
Lord,
that you will lead them, God, into teaching moments, God, that someone will be saved and delivered and set free, God. I decree, God, that through your Spirit, people will be liberated, God, like never before, God. your decree, God. We thank you for your command. We thank you for your decree, God. Now, God, let us follow after your spirit, God. Let us abort the other spirit, but follow your spirit in the name of Jesus. I decree that from this night forward, God, that we shall walk in the authority and the power of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, glory. Father, we thank you that your word be established. As you said, that every word that is decreed, you will establish in this earth realm. We thank you. We thank you. We bless you and we love you. Prophet Sir Ryan, go forth with your decree, King. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the decrees that have already gone forth. Hallelujah. I stand in agreement with all that the Lord has said. Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you for who you are, who you're revealing yourself to us daily to be, because your ways are past finding out, Lord God. So the only way we can know you is you reveal yourself to us. So I decree and declare over the listeners, Lord God, over every soul represented, even those who are lifting up other souls on behalf of those listening, Lord God. I decree and declare, Lord, a greater revelation of Jesus Christ in your holiness, that we will be pleasing in your sight and we will be who you call us to be, where you want us to be, doing what you call for us to do, a totally surrendered life. Lord God, yes. According to your word, I pray, Lord God, according to your word, Lord God, a prayer of preservation, Lord God. Not only do I pray it, Lord God, as a request, Lord God, but I decree it as praying your word back to you, Lord God. In Psalm 16:1, the psalmist declared, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." I pray for everyone on this line and everyone that will hear this later that you would preserve them, Father God, and that you would rebuke the devourer that comes to devour their soul, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare, Lord God, each one be kept, O God, and that they will know the way of righteousness, the way of holiness, Lord God, even greater than we can share it in our revelation, that you reveal to them who you are, how you want them to be, and that you will preserve them, that they are kept. You said you do not pray for us to leave this world, but that we are kept and sanctified in this world. So, Father, that is my prayer on today. Father, I also pray according to your word. According to your word in John 17:21, that you would make, you said, you pray, Jesus, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Lord, it is for your glory that we are one. It is for your glory that the world may believe that you have been sent. Let us not do anything to hinder your glory, but to forward and to advance your kingdom, Father God. Through obedience, through following your spirit. These things I decree and declare over each one, Lord. Peace, blessings, favor, your anointing, and a praying spirit that won't quit. I pray it over everyone in the mighty name of Jesus, and a cleansing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I do not want to wrap this up. But we will, as we have been led by the Spirit of God, and our time is up. I thank you, every panelist. I thank the Lord for meeting us here and showing us his glory, as Prophet Sir Ryan broke it down, that it is a manifestation of God, and not just a feeling, but the manifestation of him being present. He was present here tonight, and I thank him for joining us. I thank you guys for joining us. Again, I have been your host, Prophetess Latoya from Faith Ambassadors. We thank you for joining us on tonight. We pray that whatever our panelists have poured out on tonight, that the Lord would refresh them, that he would give them fresh revelation, and that they would continue to be led by the Spirit of God, as they are the sons of God. They are kings because their Father is the King of Kings.
Amen.
And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every listener and every listener that would listen to the playback, that they would have revelation, knowledge, and understanding of being led by your spirit in the name of Jesus. We love you here at Faith Ambassadors. To all of our listeners and those who are listening, if you want to connect with us, reach out to us on Facebook. Email us at faithambassadors, the number 247 at gmail.com, and ask us about some information about the ministry. If you would like to partner with us or become an honorary partner, if you would like to come back and minister, or if you would just like to fellowship with us, please email us and let us know what you would like to do. Again, we love you here at Faith Ambassadors. We thank God for you. I thank God for every panelist and for everyone that was listening on tonight, and for those who will listen to the playback. We bless you, and I declare that you would go in peace and that the Spirit of God would lead you for the rest of this evening and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
But you are welcome. I may need your healing, and I say you're welcome. I know you're able. In spite how I feel. And I am depending on your word revealed. You are welcome.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Let me hear you saying to the Father, you are welcome.
You are welcome. Hallelujah. Yes, you are, God. Yes, you are.
Have your way. Have your way.
I'm going to shut that up.